Okay, good morning, good vach. It's nice to be back here in the valley for our shiur. Last week, we officially were supposed to begin our series on the Teshuvas Minchas Asher, written by Rav Asher Weiss, who's a contemporary, meaning he's alive currently. He lives in Eretz Yisrael, and he answers some of the most important shailas from all over the world. Certainly Eretz Yisrael and America, but even further and wider than that. He's really one of the gedolim who's responsible for so much of the halachas that we keep as we keep them technologically. Health, he's the rabbi of a famous hospital in Eretz Yisrael. Very, very important halachic thinker, and the posik and a sensitive one who really has tremendous qualities in general. Last week we didn't have a chance to really get into his tshuvas. We just spent time working on emunah, which, as we mentioned then, is the call of the hour. As we go through what we're going through in Eretz Yisrael and across the world, watching such horrors unfold and then watching the response of the Jewish people as opposed to the response to other people who are in the world. So it's an important time to mechazik and emunah, to strengthen ourselves in belief system, in our bitachon, in our security in terms of the faith, not in terms of, you know, only in terms of arms and physical safety, but also in terms of our well-being spiritually. And that involves learning more, that involves davening more, that involves doing more mitzvos, it involves learning about emunah. So we spent last week strengthening ourselves in that way. This week we're going to jump into the tshuvas, not because it's over and not because it's not important to work on still, but because one thing we're supposed to do is learn Torah. So it's okay if we learn about the Hilchos Geiris, and it's okay if we learn about Hilchos Brachos, and it's okay if we learn about Hilchos Shabbos. We're taking on more things. We're doing more learning. We're learning more seriously. We're more intensely. That's also a zchus. That's also something that helps us build the current state of safety, but also helps us bolster our own emunah through exposing ourselves to all areas of Torah. So we're continuing in the same avodah, the same malacha. We're just doing it from a different angle. If we have time at the end, Bli Neder, Mirz Hashem, maybe we'll have a chance to discuss just one brief thought on a particular part of the current events, which I think will be mechazik, which I think will be strengthening for all of us. If we have a few moments at the end, I'll Bli Neder share those things. So you have in front of you, on page number one, we have two tshuvas in front of us, page number one, page number two. So page number one is from the first volume of Minchas Asher, Simin Mem Tes. Both of the things we're going to talk about today are related to Geirus. Most directly, there are other reasons we're talking about it, but most directly because of the psukim in this week's parsha, which tell us about Avram Avinu, first of all, going around proselytizing, or at least you know, preaching Judaism to the entirety of the world. That's obviously what he did. Vayikra b'shem Hashem, as it says in our parsha, or Vayikra b'shem Hashem kel olam, as it says in Parshas Vayera. Either way, Avram Avinu, according to the Ramban, according to the Rambam, was going around the world spreading Hashem's name, trying to teach monotheism to the entirety of the world, to the entirety of existence. And in particular, we have a pasuk which says that Avram Avinu left Ur Kasdim, and he left Haran with the Haran with Hanefesher Asu B'Haran, with the people that he had made in Haran. What does that mean, the people he had made? So the pashtus, the simple explanation would have been that he had servants that he had acquired while he was in Haran, and he brought those servants with him, people who were tafel, who were part of his household. But Rashi quotes for us Chazal, what is it, Gemara in Sotan, Daf Yud, or something like that. The Gemara says that the Nefesher Asu B'Haran is the Gerim Shegiru, that he had people in the world who were obviously not Jewish, and Judaism didn't exist, so whatever this means on whatever level it means, but he was Megayer them. He converted those people in Haran to Judaism. It wasn't Judaism, it was monotheism. He converted them to the belief system in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shehu Echad. And he brought them with him from Haran. So that at least triggers the thoughts about the Geiris. Obviously, when we talk about halachic Geiris, we're talking about something much deeper and more detailed than what Avram Avinu was dealing with, again, because the religion didn't exist the way we know it right now. But these ideas are nonetheless related to the parsha that we just read. So let's start with the shaila that Rav Asher Weiss has over here. You have in source number one, I type for you the shaila from the Sefer. Bidvar ha-pulmus. Pulmus means controversy. Bidvar ha-pulmus shehis'orer b'kihila b'nogel n'nachri shabal isgayer. There was a certain community where there was this controversy because a non-Jew, a Gentile, came that wanted to convert. He wanted to be a geir to Judaism. The Beis Din Taka thought he was a good candidate. The Beis Din, if there are extra makoros sheets, I see at least one person looking. But if there are not, then I feel like the sponsorship should be raised. Because it means we're being very successful. By the way, thank you to our sponsors for this year today, and in particular, we have in mind the, I believe it was for the Chayalim, and as well, we have them in mind with our learning, as I opened with. That's part of the guarantee that we're going to be victorious. So the case was this controversy in a town where there was a ger, habalis gayer, a non-Jew who was coming to become a ger, coming to convert, and they were pretty confident, they were totally confident that he was committed, that he was serious, that he had intent to keep the entirety of Torah. But chelak nichavrei beis hadin, the second line in source number one, some of the members of the beis din, vichavrei hanhalas hakehila, and those who were the leaders in the community, misnagdim legiuro, they were opposed to his geiris, mishum sibos shonos, for the following reasons. Now, they're very interesting reasons, and you'll pay attention to what the tzad hashava, the common denominator, is. They had the following three reasons. Again, he's a very good candidate. He plans to keep all of the mitzvos. He believes in the Ribono Shalom. He's very capable of keeping the mitzvos. He's mentally stable. Everything is set. Everything fits. However, first of all, you have it in Aleph Beis Gimel. We're not going to read inside. First of all, he seemed to have some, I don't know how to say it other than personality flaws, meaning he was extremely sensitive. He became frustrated very easily. He had anger issues. He is prone to becoming angry very quickly and very viciously. And they thought, not that he was necessarily a danger to anyone's life, a threat to anyone's health, but they thought that he wouldn't do well in Jewish communal life. There are so many interactions, intra-community, never mind inter-community, but intra-community. So many social interactions, you know, if he's not going to get Mafter Yonah, he's going to knock a guy out in shul, we don't know how he's going to respond to all the terrible travesties that happen to people in a shul, like not getting Mafter Yonah. So how is he going to function as a Jewish member in our community if he's got these anger issues and if he's so sensitive? Okay, that was the first problem. The second problem was that he was from a prominent Christian family. There was a concern that because he was from this prominent and also famous, Rav Asher says, famous Christian family, that there would be, first of all, a tremendous amount of anger. The Christian community would be incensed over the fact that he had joined the Jewish people, that he had converted to Judaism. And because of that, there was a risk that there would be a heightened anti-Semitism coming from that community, that his family would react, that the community would react, that would lead to a danger to the Jewish community because he was part of this Christian family. It harkens back, it reminds us of the case of the Geret Tzedek in Vilna, who was also part of a very, very famous, very, very powerful Christian family. In that case, it didn't necessarily come back to bite the community as a whole, but they did actually kill the Geret Tzedek himself for having converted. That's a story that it needs help proving that it happened, but if it did happen, it's very, very inspiring. The third issue that the Beis Din had with this convert candidate was that since it was a small, sort of like far-off kehila, it wasn't in a regular community, so they knew that it would be very difficult for him to find the shidduch. It's always a risk, by the way, and it's one of the most amazing things about a convert. In particular, there are certain types of converts that this stands out even more, but one of the most inspiring, amazing things is that it is harder to find the shidduch. For a person who converts to Judaism, it's harder to find the right match when that's true. Now, even, we're not talking about a case where they're converting because they're dating and they want to make sure the marriage is on the up and up. Someone who converts because they want to become Jewish, their chances of getting married are lower than someone who was born Jewish. That's just the way it is. Socially, that's just the way it is. So here in a far-off kehila, it was unlikely that this person would be able to find the shidduch in his state. And so they were worried that this too would contribute to the, you know, devolving of his religious function, or at least of his mental health, because he became, again, very angry and became very sensitive, and he was very frustrated often. So if he was not going to be able to get married and he wasn't getting along with people in the community, that would probably negatively affect everything about him. So first of all, let's just ask the question. What's the common denominator between all three of these problems? What are they not? It's not an easy question because I'm not phrasing it well, but what are they not? Should I give it, should I make it easier? I'm sorry? Ooh, okay, so that's good. Let's work with that. That's the start of the answer. He said they're all internal as opposed to external. They're all within the person as opposed to external issues.
So he has to work on himself?
Okay, that's part of it. Or there's another angle that sort of addresses. I'll ask it in a more feeding it to you way. Are these halachic issues? Okay, what are the halachic issues? How do we know if someone's ready for geiris? You don't have to know it very well, just basic. He has to do mila, tefila. Okay, good. And? Kabbalah's all mitzvos. They have to accept the Torah and the mitzvos. They have to accept the Ribono Shel Olam and his Torah and his mitzvos completely, as we'll talk about soon, Bli Neder Mirtz Hashem. All of the pieces are there for this guy. He's totally ready to become a Jew, correct? Halachically, this is a perfectly fitting candidate for geiris. What are the issues? They're not external, meaning they're not halachic issues on this guy, rather they're internal personal issues that are tangential to Hilchos Geiros, meaning we're worried about his mental stability. We're worried about how he'll impact the community negatively or positively. We're worried about the fact that he won't find the shidduch. Those are all interesting concerns, important concerns, but they're all tangential. Look in the bold in source number one. V'sha'al ma'alas kvodo, ha'im yesh zechus lebeistin litchos ger mishum sibos stadios she'inan kishuros la'atzim ha'geros. A Beis Din is certainly allowed to reject candidates for conversion. They're allowed to say, you're not ready, you're not interested enough, you're not committed enough to law. You're allowed to say all those things. But can a Beis Din say, we think you're ready, but we don't think you're a good fit for the Jewish community? Do they have that prerogative? Are they able to say, hey, we like you as a halachic candidate, but socially it's not going to work, and therefore we don't accept your geiris? No. Okay, so should we move to the second tshuva?
No, why is this even a question then?
Why? What do you mean? Meaning, why isn't it a question?
Why is this a question? Well, it's things, however, it's not ready because it's sin.
Yeah.
If you're saying the halacha...
Oh, good. So that's what we're asking. That's what we're asking. Are these concerns a question or not? That's what Rav Asher is asking.
Do they actually do that when someone's ready to be a guy that, well, you've done it all, you spent the 2 years...
Right.
You've got
that's what we're finding out right now. Meaning, whatever they do or don't do, Rav Asher is answering that question for us. When it comes up, we have to ask the question. So that's what we're answering. Oh, good. So let's talk about that for a second. So Rav Asher definitely quotes, you have it in source number 2, the Gemara Nivamos. The Gemara Nivamos says, Omrim lo, when a ger habala is gayer, someone comes to convert, Omrim lo, we say to him, Mora isa shebasal is gayer. What do you see already in the Jewish people that you want to become Jewish? Umodim oso mitzos kalos, mitzos chamuros. We tell him, here's some easy mitzos, here's some hard mitzos. And basically by telling the hard mitzvahs, we're trying to push them away and say, hey, it's really hard to be Jewish. I know you see that there's lox on Sunday, but you also have to wash before you have that. And it's so annoying because afterwards you want to run out and you have to bench. And it's a chomer. That's like really difficult for most people. That's a terrible thing about being Jewish. Also, anti-Semitism is pervasive for all of history. And you're going to be chased and hated and slaughtered even for being a Jew for the rest of your life. So why would you want to be part of this? Why are you trying to come be part of the Jewish people? My time, why are we trying to push him away? Deparish nifrosh, because if he's going to go, he should get rid of him now. He shouldn't be part of the Jewish people. Dam Reb Chelbo, kashim gerim li Yisrael kasapachas. Reb Chelbo says that gerim, they cause issues for the Jewish people. They're difficult for the Jewish people. There are multiple pshatim in the Rishonim as to what that means. What's so hard about having gerim in the Jewish people? Part of it is that some percentage of gerim, not all, not by any means all. We've had so many wonderful converts over so many years. If you read the Rambams, it's very interesting. I only noticed this last year because I was not really working with, but I was close with someone who was in the process of conversion. He used to come to our house for meals a lot. And so I was only sensitive to this then. I was reading through at some point the Rambam's Hakdama to the Yad HaChazakah, his introduction to his major work, the Mishnah Torah. And he writes there about the evolution, or I shouldn't really use the word evolution, but he writes there about the progression of Torah since Har Sinai all the way to his time. He talks about the Shalshalas HaMasorah, the Kabbalah, the tradition, the chain of the Masorah all the way from Har Sinai to Moshe to Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon. So in that context, you start to read about all the different Rabbanim and Talmid Chachamim over the course of history. It's a fascinating thing. A very solid percentage of them, I don't know what the number is, if 20%, 30%, but some percentage of them are either Gerim or children of Gerim. It's an amazing thing. The Shalshalas HaMasorah, the tradition of Har Sinai until now, is held up, literally held up. It's built on the foundation of people who are born Jewish and people who are not born Jewish, or people who are born to people who are not born Jewish. The point is, for sure, Mashiach can come from there as well, for sure. So so it's an amazing thing. It's certainly something we don't take lightly, and therefore there's been a tremendous amount of Geirei Tzedek over the years, but some percentage of Geirim are going to return to where they came from. Some percentage of Geirim are going to try it out, and they're going to realize this is too hard, and they're going to lose hope in Torah Mitzvahs, and they're going to end up being Jewish, but not keeping Torah Mitzvahs, which is bad for them, and it's bad for everyone around them, because people are going to be living in community with a Jew who acts like a non-Jew. So most of the Pshatim and Rishonim say that that's the reason why we should be careful, we should be hesitant to take Gerim, because we don't want to cause such a situation, Chas V'Shalom. One of the Rishonim, one of the Balei Tosfos, says, no, it's the opposite. It's because the Gerim, when they come to be Jewish, so they come to the community and they're on fire. They're like a post-Shana Aleph kid coming back from yeshiva. They're all excited about Yiddishkeit. You and I, we've been wrapping tefillin every day for how many years? So at some point, we're not doing it with as much excitement. But this ger is coming in every day, and he's excited, he's pumped up, he's keeping every halacha, he's asking the rabbi all the shailas, so he's going to make us look bad. He's going to make us look bad. So this Baal Tosa says, no, the gerim are so good that they're going to make Klal Yisrael look bad. That's why we shouldn't take so many gerim. Some of the Achronim point out that this Baal Tosfos, who made this comment, was himself a ger. And maybe that was a little bit of a bias of his, that he was trying to say, no, you guys are all saying gerim are bad. No, it's because we're so good. That's why the Jews don't want us. So either way, the Gemara does say that we do push them away, and that speaks to your point. So maybe this is part of that process. Maybe the very fact that we have to push gerim away is related to what we're talking about in this Shaila. That being said, it doesn't prove it, meaning it proves that we are hesitant to accept a ger. That proves that we have a strong test, and we push them, and we show them the hard things about Judaism. We do all of that. But ultimately, if a ger is sincere and genuine and complete in his faith, we take him. We do take him. So this Gemara, the fact that they're kashim kisapachas, that they're difficult for the Jewish people, and therefore we discard them from being converting, that doesn't prove that in the case where they have, you know, like we said, you know, anger issues or something like that, that we would necessarily reject their candidacy. It just means we would be careful in general to make sure that we take the right candidates only. So what do you do with this Shaila? What's the answer? Is it really a consideration? Do we care about his internal issues and his social issues in terms of converting him? So Rabbi Asher Weiss starts by saying, you should know, I don't have a Gemara to answer this question. I don't have a Sif Shulchan Aruch. There's not really any sources that talk about this Shaila. That being said, he says, I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to tell you what I think the answer is. Now, in some ways, that makes this tshuva a little bit less ideal to learn together, because he's not going to have a million gemaras, and he's not going to have sources and proofs and back and forth and pilpul. But especially in the case of Rosh Weiss, but really in general, sometimes the tshuvas that have the least sources are the most telling about their process of thinking. Meaning if Rosh Weiss has 10 gemaras to work with, and he goes back and forth about each of them, so that's important to see how he learns, but we're working on understanding Chazal. In a tshuva like this, Rosh Weiss has all of Chazal in front of his eyes. He doesn't have a source for this exact issue, but he's going to tell you what a person like him thinks of the issue, how he breaks down the issue, how he analyzes it, and that's certainly telling in terms of his Derech HaLimud and Derech HaPsak. Yeah. You were just wondering why would we do a tshuva without so many sources?
I was curious if we're specifically worried about concerns that are going to cause him to be closer.
Good, good. Well, so we'll come to that. We know that we'll come to that. Right, correct, correct, correct. But we'll come back to that anyways, don't worry. Okay, so Rav Asher Weiss starts, you have it in source number 3. Rav Asher starts by saying, you should know that this question, which seems like a simple question or even a non-question, like we said before, this question really gets to the core, cuts to the core of an entire chakira, really an analysis of what Geiris is in general or what Beis Din's role in Geiris is in general in the following sense. What is the pshat in Beis Din being Megayer Gerim? What is the pshat? What does it mean that a Beis Din has to be there to convert a convert? There's two possible ways to say it. The first way is as follows. A ger, a non-Jew who decides he wants to become Jewish, is converting himself. He's deciding to become Jewish, which means he's going to get a mila for himself, he's going to go into the mikvah for himself, and he's going to accept Torah and mitzvahs for himself, correct? All those things are incumbent upon him should he choose to become Jewish. Elamai, says the Torah, Agzeris HaKasav, the halacha is it has to be done in front of a Beis Din. Beis Din has to witness that Geiris. But who is doing the Geiris? The ger is doing the Geiris. He doesn't have a mitzvah to be a ger. There's what to talk about there. If he doesn't have a mitzvah to become a ger, he chose to be a ger. But once he chose to do so, it's on him to do the process. Beis Din has to be there to watch it. He decides to convert. They watch it happen. If so, what's the role of the Beis Din?
Edus.
Not that much at all. Maybe testimony, edus. They just need to be there. They just kind of need to be in the room.
Facilitated.
They're facilitating the Geiris. Very good. They're facilitating the Geiris. That's all they really function as. If that's the case, so Rav Asher Weiss says, do they really have the prerogative to reject someone who's a fitting candidate? If he's not, if he says, I want to be Jewish, but I don't care about Hashem or Torah, they could reject him because they say, we won't sit in on that. But if the guy is completely sincere, completely genuine, he's going to keep Torah mitzvos, he's doing the Geiris. So they don't have a right to say, we don't want you. They don't have a right to say, we won't do it. They're not the ones making this happen. That's the first possibility. But says Rav Asher Weiss, there's a second possibility. Not that the ger isn't converting himself, but no, the job of Beis Din, the role of Beis Din, is that they are the ones converting him. You look in source number 3, the second half of the source. Esher she Beis Din hema mekabel mesager umigayir moso. It's actually their role, their job, is to actually to put into force, to enforce, or to create the geirus. It's their prerogative. It's their mitzvah. It's their job. It's their role. So they're the ones who can choose, hey, is this guy fit or he's not fit? And even if he's halachically fit, maybe we don't want to go through with it. Maybe we have other reasons that we don't think it's a good idea for him or for the community. This...
If the person, if a guy on their own decides, I want to become a Yid.
Yeah.
And they...
Good. Yeah.
Is it a Geiris?
No. Yeah, based on that. That's for sure true. The question is, why do they have to be there? Because they have to witness it, or because they're the ones who are doing the Geiris?
What is their function by being there? I know I just kind of facilitated, but what do they actually do?
Okay, in terms of actions?
Observe.
Right, in terms of actions, the same. They certainly only observe. That's correct. But is their observation just that, or is their observation what makes the Geiris?
Is
but,
it like a
mental Well, it's much more than that, because... For sure, meaning that, for sure, mitzvahs chamuras, mitzvahs kalos, but that's But that's part of... Yeah.
Also b'shas tefillah.
Right, right. But that's all part of ensuring that they're ready for gerus.
Right.
Right? Meaning, or no, or it's what's holy.
Yeah,
yeah, it still fits in the fact. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I think we're just asking, what's the action they do? No matter what, the action is the same. The question is, how do we look at their action? Is their action just witnessing? That's all they're there for? Right, that's one possibility. Or the possibility is that, no, they're like, I'm only saying this as a mashal, I don't mean this seriously, but they're like the Masada Kedushin. They're the ones getting them married. It's not literal.
They could be married without having a rabbi present, right?
They could be.
Not the same.
That requires more discussion to answer properly. But yes, meaning Masada Kedusha is not literally one marrying them, but you do need a Rav who knows the halachos of Kedushin and Gittin to be present at a chuppah in order to make sure it's done properly. Oh. No, not because he's the one literally marrying. Yeah. Correct. It could be accidentally done properly without the rabbi's presence. Yeah. Yeah. So this chakira, maybe this will help understand a little more. This chakira might be related to a more general question when it comes to Hilchos Geiris. Is there a mitzvah on the Beis Din to convert Gentiles? Is there a mitzvah on the Beis Din to do Geiris, to find non-Jews and convert them? What if a non-Jew comes to them and asks to be converted? No mitzvah on them. Meaning we're assuming the Geir decides he wants to become Jewish. There's only one way to do it. The Torah tells you how to do it. But there's no mitzvah to do that. That's what we're basically all assuming,
but
correct?
At the same time, they have an obligation not to turn.
Well, I understand what you mean, though. Right. Once he's fitting, they have. Right. So that's sort of part of the question is, do they have an obligation or it just makes sense? Is that a mitzvah? So it's very interesting. Our parsha as well, the Gemara in Darim says in Daf Lamed Beis that Avram Avinu was held accountable. I think the Gemara says that this is the reason we went to Mitzrayim. One of the reasons we went to Mitzrayim was Avram Avinu was held accountable, him and his descendants afterwards, for an issue that he had in this week's Parsha. There's one issue that the Ramban brings up, but the Gemara says because Avram Avinu, after the war with the four kings and the five kings, so he had all of these captives of Sodom, and the Melech came out and said, I want my captives back, and he gave them right back. He said, I don't want your citizens. So we think of that as a noble act, meaning what are you holding on to hostages for? It's a war crime. But the Gemara says, no, he had all of these non-Jews in his hands. They were literally with him together. He could have converted them to Judaism. He could have taken them tachas kanfei ashchina, the Gemara says, Rashi says. He could have made them Jewish. And in so doing, he would have performed a beautiful service to them by bringing them to be servants of God in the most holy of ways. And he squandered that opportunity, so he was punished for that. Now, that could be a proof that there's a mitzvah, or it could be a proof that no, in that case, he already had them in his arms. He already had them there, so at least bring them closer to Hashem. Right, exactly. So he already had them, and maybe they wanted to because they were so close. I have the feeling, based on what I've read in the Torah, that anyone who came close to Avraham Avinu wanted to be from. I mean, he was just such an electric personality, so dynamic.
They were showing that he was in Sodom.
Okay, yeah, but yeah, okay. But the Gemara assumes that he had an ability to turn them. Good, that's a chazal. Maybe. So, again, it's not, that's for Hashem to figure out whether it sticks or not. Avraham Avinu doesn't have to have a thought in the process of will it stick. He has to just judge them as good candidates in the time that he's dealing with them. So there are other ma'amakomos about this as well. The Gemara in Yivamos has a Lashon Memzayin, which sounds like Shihui Mitzvah Lo Mishahinan, that if we have a Geiris convert candidate who comes before the Beis Din, we shouldn't push off the Mila. We should do it right away, because we don't want Chas V'Shalom that we should push off the Mitzvah. What Mitzvah? Where Mitzvah? Maybe there's a Mitzvah on the Beis Din to convert him. Okay, these are sources. One interesting ma'amakom, which is worth just spelling out for a second, the Gemara assumes that there's a bracha on the Mila of a Geir. That when we do the bris milah on a ger, we have a bracha of milah. So it's a berachas mitzvah, meaning there's a mitzvah here to do the milah, and we have to make a bracha beforehand over the asiyasan. So in that context, the Ravid in the Sefer Bali Nefesh asks, "What mitzvah? What mitzvah is the Beis Din doing? What mitzvah is the Beis Din doing?" That's what we say by a Jewish baby's bris. It's not the bracha we're talking about. We're talking about the bracha of al hamila or limol to give a bris milah. I don't remember if we say that bracha by Ger. I don't know. Do we say the lafnis b'rusha shalom? You know, I don't know. I have to look it up. But we're not talking about that bracha. We're talking about the berachas mitzvah.
The first mitzvah that the Ger does, or is it specifically
what that Gemara in Yivamos?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. I didn't see that pshat. Interesting. Very interesting. So do we say? So we do say a bracha of mila, berachas mitzvah, actually an obligated mitzvah bracha on the mila itself. So the rabbi says, what mitzvah? What mitzvah are you talking about? What mitzvah is there to give a mila to a ger? He says, yeah, there's a mitzvah to be megayer. There's a mitzvah to convert non-Jews. What's the mitzvah? So the rabbi says, it's a pasuk in our parsha. Esa nefesh asher asu b'charam. You see, Avraham Avinu converted people. That's a funny rivet, meaning a pasuk from before Matan Torah that doesn't say there's a mitzvah. It's just telling a story of what happened. That's a source that there's an obligation, that there's a chiyuv or a kiyum mitzvah in converting a gerim. It's not there, so that's a funny rivet, but that's what he suggests. My Rebbe Rav Tversky Shlita suggested either an alternative, or maybe this is the pshat in the rivet. The Rambam says in his Sefer HaMitzvos, when he defines for us the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, that a person should be in love with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, should be obsessed with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, there should be an Ahava, Shetishke Bo Tamid, with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a person should love Hashem. So within that mitzvah, the Rambam writes, V'ahavtas Hashem Alkecha, Ahaveyu Al Habrios. What does that mean, Ahaveyu Al Habrios? Love for Hashem means loving Hashem, and Ahaveyu Al Habrios. Make him loved, make him beloved to the rest of the creation. Meaning spread that love to the entirety of the world. A person should be so filled with love for Hashem that it overflows to the people around him. It's a beautiful lashon the Rambam has. And then he says, Ke Avram Avicha, just like your ancestor, Avram Avinu, v'esa nefesh asher asu b'charan. That's what the Rambam says. So maybe the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, again, like we said, it's not only the individual should love God, but that you should disseminate that love. You should spread that love to the rest of the world. So maybe that's what the Ravid got it from, or maybe the Rambam's suggesting a different idea, that when a person brings someone tachas kanfei Hashchina, when a person brings a non-Jew into the fold under the kanfei Hashchina of Hashem, and makes them a shomer Torah mitzvos, that's a form of Ahavas Hashem. It's a mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, that you don't only love Hashem, but you spread that Ahava to everyone around us as well. Ahava Hashem is selfless. It's not something that you're so captivated and so enthralled that you get, you know, insular. It's the opposite. A person becomes more in love with Hashem, that means they want to give it to more people. The parallel example is Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, there's clues to this in the Rambam, that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah does not mean to learn Torah. The chiddush in the Rambam is that it's not only not to learn Torah, but it doesn't even mean to teach Torah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah means to learn to the point where you're overflowing with Torah. And naturally, the people around you learn from you. Naturally, you're teaching the people around you, because like a Navi being Kovesh Nebuaso, you can't hide the prophecy that came to you at night. So to a Talmud Chacham who learns enough Torah, they're just spilling with it. They're brimming at the top. They can't possibly hold it back. They're so in love with Hashem, they're so in love with His Torah that it spreads to other people as well. Maybe that's a part of the mitzvah that's existent within the idea of Geirus. Okay, so if that's true, just again,
it's very interesting that there is a specific problem. When you move the gerim, and he says, "Asher kidshanu tavet zivanu, lamul et hagerim, ulatif mehem dam berit, leachnisam librito shel Avraham."
Oh, that's how it goes. It's all one bracha. No,
okay.
Right. Lahat Tambris, right, yeah. So this is the Rishonim. So that is interesting. I mean, the fact that the language is different and specific is very interesting. Also, we should note that, again, it could be. I happen not to know, but
but it's Kores. It's Lamol Segerim and Kores Sabris, but there's no
Lahat. Right. And again, even what you just said is a subject to Machlokas Rishonim. I think that the Rush says what you said, Lamol, Limol. But some of the other Rishonim, the Beis Halevi, also say maybe it should be Al Hamila. I mean, it's not clear that it should be. These are what you guys are touching on is the reason for this question. How much is it a mitzvah inherently, independently? But it's a very fascinating question. Very good. So either way, the reason why we were talking about this, why is there a mitzvah to do Geiris or not, is because maybe that relates to what the Beis Din has on them. Is the Beis Din just there to facilitate, to watch it happen, to let it happen? Or no, the Beis Din actually has a mitzvah. They have a halacha over here that they're converting this guy. There's a mitzvah on them to do it. There's an action that it's the same act. I mean, they're just sitting there, but that's an action of converting them. Or no, they're just there to help the Ger convert, which is his will and his desire to do it properly. Rav Asher Weiss says again, I don't have Mar Makomas for this. I have a Chakira, I have a discussion, I have a back and forth. I don't really have a Chazal or a Sif in Shulchan Aruch that's going to answer this question for us directly. He does quote, you have it in source number 4 over here. He quotes a Tosas in Maseches Yevamos, which really is working off a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Tes, says that Avram Yitzchak Yaakov had an opportunity to convert Timna. Timna was a Gaita, and eventually she became the mother of Amalek down a few generations. So all of Amalek that exists, some of which we're confronting in the current era, so all of Amalek which exists came from this lady, Timna. Timna apparently came, she wanted to convert. She wanted to become Jewish at some point in history. So the Gemara says in all cases, the Avram, Yitzchak, Yankov, they rejected her. They didn't allow her to become Jewish. Now, the Gemara says it's their fault. It's on them that we have Amalek in the world, because we wouldn't have had Amalek if not for the fact that they didn't convert Timna. If they would have converted her, she would have been Jewish. We wouldn't have these Jew haters, Amalek, in the history of the world. That's what the Gemara claims. So, Rav Asher Weiss here says, again, Tosa says, he quotes this Gemara, Omri, Dahainu, Hechashem, Asino, So, Osan, His Gayer, Omashem, Kablam, Som, Yada, Avalim, Hin, Mis, Amsam, His Gayer, Yishlan, Kablam, Shahari, Matsinu, Shen, Nen, Shu, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shalok, Kibbul, Timna, Shabbasal, His Gayer. There was a punishment for not accepting her. So, Rav Asher Weiss points out, why didn't Avram accept, Yitzchak accept Timna? Because she didn't want to keep Torah and Mitzvos? Let's say that was true. Then they wouldn't have been punished. Exactly. What would be the punishment? So it must be that she was a perfect candidate, but for some other reason they decided it wasn't a good fit. What? We don't know what the other reason was. But Rav Asher Weiss says, maybe you have a proof from here that if they're a good candidate, you take them. And if there's some other tangential reason, people thought, she was too much of a yenta. People wouldn't get along with her in the women's section. So that's not a reason to reject her candidacy. She was a good candidate. She was going to keep Torah mitzvos. And know what? They're punished for that. They do like yentas in the women's section. I've never been in the women's section. I don't know. I don't know which is positive. Whatever. Whichever one's negative. Whichever one's negative. So it depends which side you're on. Yeah, I hear that. So they were rejected her for some tangential reason. Tangential reasons are not reasons to reject the Gerus candidate. Again, he's reaching. You can tell he's reaching, right? Okay, I don't know. Right, I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know what Nevuah doesn't mean that you know everything all the time. It just means Hashem offers you some insight into things. So I don't know if that's even that. It's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu inspires in you at certain times. It doesn't doesn't mean that they know everything. Yes, it doesn't mean they saw this though.
Okay.
So Rav Asher Weiss is reaching over here. He doesn't know the answer. He doesn't have a Gemara. Maybe a proof, maybe not. He's not 100% sure. So at the end of the Tshuva, source number 5, you have it. He admits that he doesn't really have a proof one way or the other. He says if you look through the Rambam in Issuri Biyah, Perek Yud Gimel, which is where Hilchos Geiros is contained, so he says you won't find ever the Rambam mentioning any factors other than Kabbalah's Torah and Mitzvos. So maybe we don't have a proof, a positive proof one way or the other in a Gemara, but by omission, the Rambam tells us, all of the things you need, all the necessary conditions for Geiros, and he does not include these tangential concerns. So you see from the Rambam, at least, that he didn't bring those concerns up, at least he didn't think it was necessary to mention checking anything other than the seriousness or the commitment of the candidate. That being said, Rav Asher suggests there are really two types of tangential concerns that a person can have. The first is that there's a personality flaw, like we said before, that are not assumed to be a risk to anyone's obviously safety, but also not assumed to be a risk to his Shmiras Torah Mitzvos. He's going to be the guy in shul that nobody wants to hang out with because he's so mean and he's so angry and he's so rotten. Okay, so he's not going to have a great Jewish life. He's not going to find the shidduch. He's going to have a hard time, but he's going to keep Torah Mitzvos. So he's going to be a Jew. We don't have to work harder than that. He's going to be Jewish. He's committed to Torah and Mitzvos. That, says Rav Asher Weiss, he assumes that we would accept such a candidate, which is their case. They think it's their case, that everything checks out except that he's got some, he's not socially all there. So we would still take him. Rav Asher Weiss says the second it becomes worse than that, meaning this guy has an anger issue. And because he's going to get so angry, we could tell he's going to end up going off the derech. I mean, he's not going to keep Torah and Mitzvos. He's going to hate everyone. He's going to hate Judaism. He's going to be so frustrated with all the halachos that he's not going to end up being Jewish. He's going to go back on his Kabbalah Sol Torah Mitzvos. So in such a case, the answer is, he doesn't say it's obvious, but it seems obvious, that, and this is what you were asking in the beginning, that in such a case, that would lead to us rejecting his candidacy. Not because he has an anger issue, but because his anger issue is going to lead to him being a bad Geirus candidate. So that all adds up. That all makes sense. The tricky part is the in-between things, where we can't tell for sure, how far this issue is going to go. Anti-Semitism, is that now going to be a danger to the Jewish community? It seems we would take into account if the person is going to raise the risk of people's health and people's well-being and people's lives. We would take that into account. So it becomes more complicated in terms of the gray areas here. But at least you see how it's a shaila. At least how you see it's worth asking the shaila, meaning in some cases those personality flaws will be something that leads to a rejection. But in many cases, as long as he's a good Geirus candidate, we don't have to look anywhere past that. Rav Asher notes that in certain communities, he mentions New York, but there are others as well, there were takanos in certain kihilos not to accept any gerim at any time. That's a very controversial stance to take. But controversy aside, it does make sense in certain scenarios. Meaning, if a community decided that on the whole, or right, altogether, on the sum of things, gerim end up causing them issues for one reason or another. You have to figure out why it is. Are they usually bad candidates? Are they usually fakers? There's such a thing as someone faking it in order to get married to a Jewish person or to get money or whatever it might be. So they may decide that all in all, the risks outweigh the rewards, and therefore we should cancel it entirely. That is controversial. But he mentions that as a tzarechi, and maybe that makes sense to have those tangential concerns because they lead to an ultimate rifyon, and they lead to the breaking down of the system of the community. That would be problematic on the whole. On page number 2, if you flip the sheet over, so you have the tshuva, I always have trouble with this. 3 tshuvas later, because if you do the math, 49 to 52, oh wait, that does make sense. 52 minus 49 is 3.
Oh, you're on fire.
So this is three tshuvas later, right?
Yes, correct.
But you don't count the 49, that's why.
No one voted against you.
I never finished you don't know what, do you guys have regents in LA?
No.
But some of you are displaced persons from New York or no?
Yeah.
Okay, so I never got my math regent diploma. I skipped out. I skipped out of math to B. I never finished math, and it wasn't to learn. It wasn't to learn Torah.
The only thing
we found that flaw. In 8th grade, they put me in the math A class. Math A and math B were high school. 9th and 10th grade was math A. They've changed it like 3 times since then. 11th and 12th grade was math B. So in 8th grade, they put me in the math A, meaning I was accelerated math in 8th grade. They put me in the high class because they wanted me to do the high school stuff in 8th grade. So I flunked that. And then I went to 9th grade and they made me be in Math A again because I didn't get my diploma. So I took Math A for 9th and 10th grade. I didn't finish in 10th grade either. I took it again in 11th grade when everyone else was in Math B. And then in 12th grade, my principal said, you're probably better off doing something else at that period. So I don't have a diploma. So if anyone, a great gift like Sonica time would be a math regents diploma. I just skipped those. Okay. So in source number 1 on page 2, you have the tshuva in Simen Nun Beis, which is a couple of tshuvas after the one we first spoke about until now. Here, a fascinating tshuva. I think it does come up in some way. It does come up in some way. The rabbi will have more stories about this. I'm not involved in Geiris Halacha L'maisa, obviously. But it's a fascinating question. Basically, there was a ger who converted a beautifully, wonderfully Orthodox conversion 5 years prior. But then he comes to Rabbi Shweiss and he says, I have a shayla. When I converted, I was totally committed to Yiddishkeit. I was totally committed to Torah and mitzvos. I believed in Hashem. Everything was there. The thing is, I had this mistaken belief. I realize now it was mistaken, but I didn't know this until now. How could it be he didn't know this until now? I don't know. But he said, I used to think that there's no such thing as an Am HaNivchar. Meaning, I knew that I wanted to be Jewish, and I knew that Torah is great, but I thought Hashem designated, this is crazy, I thought Hashem designated a bunch of religions in the world. He told Christians to be Christian, he told Muslims to follow Islam, the Quran, and he told the Jews to follow the Torah. So I wanted to pick the Jewish path. I didn't believe that the Jews were special in any way, I didn't think the Torah was superior in that way. I thought it was best fit for me, but I thought each religion was designated by Hashem. Isn't that fascinating that someone could think that? So he thought each one was a legitimate path. I chose Judaism, but they're all legitimate. So that certainly runs against, we had in this week's parsha also, a Kadosh Baruch Hu chooses Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is the forefather of the Jewish people. We are chosen. We're an Am HaNivchar, we're Am HaSgula. There's no other nation that's Hashem's. Banim Atem LaHashem Elokechem. That's just us, only us, exclusively us, Am HaSgula. So how did he mess that up? How did no one tell him that? I don't know, but that's what he thought. So he went to Rabbi Shweiss, v'she'ilas v'fiv. He said, am I Jewish? Was my conversion good? I was missing a basic tenet of faith. Now, just to start, source number 2, Rav Asher doesn't start with this, he ends with this, but just in source number 2, you have a writing of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish writes, V'nira, the inyan geiris, the possibility of geiris, the concept of geiris, eino ella, there's a starting point, not anyone could be a geir, there's a starting point, eino ella lima'amin b'yesodo, mitzvah Hashem es Yisrael chukim mishpatim, that Hashem charges us with mitzvos, al yedei Moshe Nevi'o, through his prophet Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNevi'im, and what? V'hivdilam mikol ha'amim. And separated the Jewish people from everyone else. They're Am HaNivchar, they're a chosen nation. The Chazon Ish thinks that's a basic, that's a preliminary building block to Geiris. You can't become Jewish without that.
Whose side? The Geir.
Well, which side? We don't know what side he's on. He had a question.
Yeah. In this week's last week's parsha, you have Hadar.
Oh, excellent. Right, that's true. But oh, we, right. But the, there are plenty of psukim in the Torah which tell you that since Avram Avinu, be Yitzchak Ikari L'Chazera, right? Meaning there was a chosen seed of Avram Avinu.
It's not like everybody else is.
They're not. Well, they're not. They're not nivchar. They're not chosen.
They're not chosen.
Yeah, they're certainly not chosen. Yeah, we're certainly exclusive. They have paths, but they're not legitimate in the sense that meaning we are the chosen nation. They don't have paths to religion. Meaning Christianity is not a legitimate religion. It's sheker. For sure, there's a Trinity and there's polytheism for sure.
They just think it applies to Ishmael.
But Yitzchak Yikar
L'Chazera. They have that pasuk. Ishmael Yikar.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't study Quran. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I don't know the Quran.
I don't know where it's from. They hold from that.
Okay, good, but they're wrong. So meaning like. I know one time the used to be, this is an interesting thing, it's kind of one of the, maybe a tiny of people have in YU in general, but not in my day, before my day, when I came, they changed it for me, they wouldn't let this be anymore, but it used to be that the, not the Pope, but like the cardinals, the guys who wear the yarmulkes, they would come to yeshiva, to YU, and they would walk around trying to like, it was like, I don't know what it was, I don't think it was interfaith dialogue, I think it was just,
ecumenical.
It was just, yeah, exactly, ecumenical, being nice to each other, kind of like being open to being, you know, friendly, working together, klapei chutz, whatever. Still weird, but so they would come to the Beis Medrash, and Rav Schechter, the way Rav Schechter tells the story is that they were trying to figure out, and again, this is the way Rav Schechter tells the story, I wasn't there, they were trying to figure out, like, what makes Judaism click? Like, why are we being so successful, and Christianity is kind of plummeting?
Today, now, the monks come to, you're learning the Beis Medrash of Yule, you'll see them come to Yule, they do the same thing.
Okay, I don't know. So this is, historically, this is I'm telling you a story from Rav Schechter, which happened before my time. So the cardinals used to come to the Beis Medrash, and they would try to do some research, hey, what's working about Judaism, what's not working about Christianity? How can we improve our religion? So Shechter says one year they came and they said, we want to look at the chavrusas. We want to watch the chavrusas. So they said, sure. Why? They said, because we realize now that in Christianity, the people who study theology and try to become Talmidei Chachamim in Christianity, they learn alone. You read books on your own. But Judaism, you have this concept of chavrusa system where you learn together in pairs. Maybe that's the key. So they went around talking to the chavrusas, seeing how they learn whatever. So Shechter always comments. He says, it's interesting. They thought the problem with Christianity was that they don't have chavrusas. It's not the problem. The reason why Judaism is successful is because it's emes. And the reason why Christianity is not successful is because it's checker v'chazav. There's no really, you can have chavrusas and not chavrusas just because it's all a lie. It's not a, so okay, and each religion is its own thing, but there certainly is only one chosen nation, one Amma Nivchar. So based on that, you would potentially think that this guy had a faulty conversion. I mean, he was missing a basic tenet of faith. Yeah.
But he went through a base in, so the process was
crazy, right? So here's the craziest part. I mean, it's not crazy, but to me, it's crazy to think about. Rabbi Asher Weiss points out that it's absolutely true that the base in asks you if you're ready to mekamba mitzvos. They tell you about Shabbos, they tell you about kashrus, they tell you about, I don't know, you know, they choose their kalos nechamur, tzitzis, whatever they're going to tell you about, right? They never learn the yud gimel ikare emuna with you. Or if they do, Rabbi, I don't know if they do, if it's part of the curriculum, but they're not required to in Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't say you have to learn the Inkari Emuna. So you could have a ger come through the slip through the cracks, so to speak, who knows everything in Rabbi Ribi Atzilchos Shabbos, but doesn't know the Rambam's 13 principles of faith. It's a fascinating thing. I'm with you. It's fascinating. In fact, I have a kash on that, but we don't have time to get into it right now. But that is the truth. The sources don't support that. So Rav Asher Weiss says, there's two things to point out over here. We're skipping the sources, but we'll say it outside. There's two things to point out over here. First of all, even if this was Ikari Emuna, it would still be a good conversion for the reason we just said. The rabbis don't have to go through all of the Ikari Emuna. You can become a Jew, apparently. This is a chiddush, but it's true. You can become a Jew without being an expert, apparently, in the principles of faith. You have to accept them once you learn them. So this guy is Adrab. He's a great candidate. He heard the truth, and he said, am I Jewish? And that's a great candidate. So no, of course he's Jewish, says Rashi. He doesn't need a new tevila, and therefore, of course, you shouldn't do a new one, because that's, motzi laz. Spread rumors that Chas V'Shalom, we think that he wasn't a good conversion. It was a good conversion, because that's not apparently one of the necessary building blocks to conversion. Additionally, Rav Asher Weiss points out the obvious, which is that if you go through all the animamins, there is no Ikar Emunah, there is no animamin that the Jewish people are the chosen people. It's absolutely true. And if you deny it, you're denying a piece of the Torah. And we're not arguing about that. Everything we said before is true. But it's not technically speaking one of the Ikar Emunah, one of the principles of faith. So even if you thought it was an issue, it wouldn't be an issue. But Rashi says the whole thing's not an issue. Even if it was Ikar Emunah, it wouldn't be problematic.